Hi, Gudvach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are moving right along. We are up to Parshat Pinchas. That's right. There is so much to talk about in this week's Parsha. First, I do want to mention that this shiur is sponsored this week. Eloi Nishmat David ben Yechiel Yehoshua. May his neshama have an aliyah. Again, if you would like to sponsor, please be in contact with any of the Megiddei Shirim or any of the people who run Shir Enjoyment. Go to shirenjoyment.com. Anyway, let's get started. In the middle of this week's Parsha, after the details of the tribal families are given, we have the five daughters of Tzolofchad. That's right. The daughters of Tzolofchad famously appear in this week's Parsha, and they approach Moshe. They state that they have no brothers, and their father is no longer alive. Yet they very, very much want to have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. And they say, like, it's not fair. Why should we? We have Chavivas Aretz. We love, you know, Eretz Yisrael. We want to have part of it too, right? It's not just like, you know, FOMO, fear of missing out. They wanted legitimately to have a part of Eretz Yisrael. And they didn't have seemingly any Achuzah. They didn't have any piece of that. So they legitimately wanted it. And that prompts Moshe to ask Hashem, like, what is the Halach? Which raises another question. Did Moshe learn it before? Did he not learn it before? To talk about now. But it is something to think about. But we learned that in their circumstance, the inheritance does, in fact, go to the daughters, which states a new halacha that was stated in this week's Parsha, and they have a full claim in the land like everybody else. Now, Rav Gershon Yaakovson, in his Sefer Ashei Hashem, explains that these five daughters had, as I said before, a chavivat ha'aretz, a special love for the land of Israel, which referred to the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, was the land of Canaan at the time, but we refer to it, you know, dearly as Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. They're from the tribe of Menashe, who were imbued with this from their tribal ancestor, Yosef. And he gives two proofs in his Sefer of Ashei Hashem of Yosef's desire for the land. Yosef made sure that his bones would be brought to Eretz Yisrael and would not be buried or entombed in Mitzrayim, like perhaps the other Shvatim were. Again, that's a debate as to whether or not all the Shvatim were brought out of Mitzrayim. But either way, he wanted to make sure that his bones would be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Additionally, he was the one to initially utter the words of Pakod Yifkod, "You shall surely be redeemed," that Moshe would later also utter, that the Klal Yisrael, after 210 years of Mitzrayim, would ultimately leave Mitzrayim as a nation. They would be taken out of Mitzrayim as a nation and ultimately brought to the land of Israel. That was part of the purpose, not just to be taken out of Mitzrayim, but to ultimately brought to the land of Israel. Yet the question could be asked, if Yosef instilled the love of the land into his descendants, then why was Yehoshua his only representative to not slander the land, right? We know that Yosef was divided into Menashe and Ephraim. Now, Ephraim, that descendant and representative of the 12 tribes, was Yehoshua. Menashe, well, we see that we have some representative of Menashe being in Benot Tzolofchad. But what happened to the one of the Shvatim from the tribe of Menashe? So it's not really clear exactly what happened. But for whatever reason, even though he came from Yosef, I apologize, it slips my mind exactly who was the representative of the Meraglim from Menashe. But he didn't share, he should have, but he didn't have this chalivat ha'aretz. And instead of glorifying and having this special dear love for Promised Land, for Eretz Yisrael, he actually went and slandered it along with the other nine Meraglim. So perhaps the daughters of Tzolofchad not only wanted it just for themselves, but also felt that as part of the tribe of Menashe and a legacy of Yosef, who had chalivat ha'aretz, they wanted to amend this and show their chalivas are. Now, approximately 38 years earlier, at the end of Parshat Shlach, yes, by the way, in the last, you know, we just went 30, basically, and actually in Parshat Korach, interestingly enough, it actually spans about 38, 39 years. But anyway, but in Parshat Shlach, right, where we're still in year two of the Midbar, the Torah records a curious episode. Following the episode of the spies, the Torah writes of a man who was gathering wood on Shabbos, thereby violating it. Hashem tells Moshe he must be put to death, and this indeed occurs. A ton written about that. The Midrash, as cited by Tosfos and Baba Basra, explained that this man was Tzolofchad. And why did he do this? He understood that the people had to stay in the desert now for a total of 40 years, so an additional 38 years. They would be frustrated and perhaps be tempted, so unreasonable, to be tempted to throw off some of the yoke of the mitzvah. And as such, he wanted to show the importance of probably the most paramount mitzvah, which was a mitzvah Shabbos, and therefore he wanted to show the severity of breaking it, to instill the importance of Shabbos, and through it, the rest of the mitzvah as well. Chazal explained that Tzolofchad's actions were l'shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven, although They do debate whether he acted properly or not. But perhaps Solovchad also acknowledged and felt bad that his tribal representative, again, his tribal representative from Manasseh, from the stock of Yosef, maligned the land that Hashem promised them. He knew that the laws of Shabbos would be much more difficult than what they were currently, right? And in the Midbar, they didn't have to work, they didn't have to refrain from work, they didn't have to refrain from planting. It was, I mean, Shabbos was basically like any other day, other than the fact that they couldn't cook, right? It basically was like any other day. But when they went into the land, Shabbos would be very different. I would be going to, planting and so many other things, they had to refrain from. So many of the malachas related to Shabbos have to do with refraining from things related to agriculture. So that would be much more difficult. And he wanted to instill this now while it was still easy. So that when they entered in the land, it would be less lax in its observance, and they would take it much more seriously. And his daughters, perhaps, having learned this lesson, understood not only the importance of Hashem, but really the whole thing of what Hashem wanted. They understood the picture, like many of the righteous tzidkaniyos did, many of the righteous women. They understood that not only was the land of Israel special, but they wanted to specifically be part of the land of Israel because this was part of the promise of Hashem. This was part of what Hashem wanted. And if Hashem wanted it for them, then they wanted it for them. They wanted what Hashem wanted. They wanted to be part of the legacy of what Hashem promised the Avos, and I guess the Imaos. And therefore, it's fitting, it's very fitting that the term chaviva ta'aretz, which again means the love of the land, is actually equal to the term halozeh benot tzelofchad. Is this not the daughters of Tzelofchad? So, 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes remaining. I know so many people who have made Aliyah. I'm personally not there myself. Many of us probably are not. Many of us listening maybe did make Aliyah or have, our parents made Aliyah. Whether we live in Eretz Yisrael or not, obviously it's a very big milah to make Aliyah, but it's also difficult. But whether we live in Eretz Yisrael or not, it's very, very important to have chaviva ta'aretz. There is something very, very special. Obviously, we want to love all of Klal Yisrael, and it's our ancestral homeland. But we also want to love the land because it's the land that Hashem gave us. It's part of the plan. It's part of where, at least on some level, if not on a full level, we're meant to be. Whether we're ready to go there now or not, but ultimately we're meant to be there. We're meant to have chaviva sa'aretz or chavivat ha'aretz, love of the land. It's not just a select few. We understand that not just the physical land, but the spiritual accompanying of the physical land, as well as all of the people inside it, all of the Jews inside it, is part of one of the greatest and earliest promises we have from Hashem. And we need to. Certainly, I just was very, very fortunate a few weeks ago to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael for the first time in a very long time. Bezrat Hashem, I'll be able to go again maybe in a year or two again, but it took a while and it was 2 weeks, but it was a long 2 weeks in a good way. I wanted it to last and it was amazing. I longed to go back and I hope I can go back very frequently. So I urge you, especially with what's going on, it means so much to people, especially if you can help out. But even if you just, help with the tourism, say hi to people, meet people. I know so many people who have done that and people have been so appreciative. So if you can't move to Eretz Yisrael and you haven't been to Eretz Yisrael in a while, save up a few funds, find a deal, find people to stay by. There are so many people willing to help out. There are programs, there's so many things to do. And we want to show that we have not just a chavivas haaretz, but a chavivas of Klal Yisrael and a chavivas of Hashem. Wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom.